While we remain standing, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 5 through 17, the Word of the Living God. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, bore out our ears that we may hear your voice and follow you faithfully. Open our eyes so that we may see wonderful things from your law. And now allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, our hearts, to be acceptable in your sight. For you are our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. We pray this through Jesus, and amen. You may be seated. All right, I'd like us to begin today by taking, if you will, I invite you to take a stroll down memory lane. Take a stroll down memory lane. This may be a long lane for some of you, a very short lane for others. Or you can take a higher speed trip along the consideration highway. Okay, stroll or high speed trip down the highway. With this consideration in mind, with this topic in mind, with this position or person in mind, the pastor. What are your memories? You can go way back. Go to your childhood pastor. Go to your favorite pastor. What are your memories of pastor, the position, the person? Who comes to mind? Who comes to mind? When considering the pastor, who he is and what does he do? What do you think of? Who is he? And what actually does the pastor do? That's a question commonly asked. What does the pastor do? You know, there's a plethora of jokes out there. There are entire joke books about that. Actually, one just came into my mind, but I'm not going to share it now. So, I'm not going to share it. What are your thoughts? Okay, now when I was a little boy, I still have many fond memories of time with my childhood pastor. I remember summer days in the sanctuary, visiting him, asking questions about the Bible. I remember as I grew older and began to play baseball, my pastor would actually show up at the ball games. And my father was always on the third baseline and in an orange folding chair. I could look over there and see that my father was there, and my pastor would come up alongside and he'd stay for a few innings. Memories. Mundell's Drive-In. Pastor would often take one of his sons and me or any of the kids that might have been around the church to Mundell's Drive-In, and it's not there anymore. Some have had difficult times with their pastors, and as they've thought over this, as they've thought back, they've sometimes come to conclusions that, yeah, it was the pastor's fault, or it was my fault, or it was we were both eating that pie. It was both of our faults. And some have difficult memories. Sometimes young men will come to me and ask, they want to inquire about being a pastor. I'd like to become a pastor. And by the way, I'd love to see all kinds of churches planted throughout the DFW Metroplex area. It'd be wonderful. I think before we get there, we need to make sure that we're being faithful here, and then let the Lord give the increase. But oftentimes young men over the years will come to me and want to know about being a pastor, and I'll commonly ask them a question. Why? Why do you want to be a pastor? What are you thinking? What's going on? And there are very good answers to that. Very good answers to that question. Why? And tell me, instead of being, what's your problem, what are you thinking? It's actually, what are you thinking? I'd like to know what you're thinking about when it comes to entering the pastorate. What are your thoughts about it? I know that as a little fella, we'd exit after the service, and my pastor was always at the back door, and he would shake. I took that from him, just a way to interact with people. And I would commonly ask my pastor a question at that time. These were shaping times, very favorable times. Recently in this congregation, a very young boy came to me and sat with me on that back pew that's out there in the foyer. And this boy said, Pastor Neil, I think I might want to be a pastor someday. What does it mean to be a pastor? What does a pastor do? Those are good questions, very good questions. I think it was Spurgeon who somewhere wrote, when he's dealing with young men who are interested in the pastorate, he says something to this effect, go do anything else. Go do anything else. This is one way to confirm your call. And if you can't do anything else, because you're compelled to be a pastor, that's good. If you can't do anything else because you're no good at anything else, don't become a pastor. Because some people, they've tried everything, and they can't do anything, and so they become pastors. Some pastors need to go through quite a bit of training, not just with a pastor in the congregation, but you always look at their faithfulness. What are they like? Everything. From their, do they tithe, and how do they interact with people? But even when a man is, say, studying for the ministry, and he's working a full-time job elsewhere, is he faithful in that job? And what kind of a job is it? Does God continually bring people to him? And would the four concrete walls of a warehouse teach him theology? Or would the particular office that he's in shape him and prepare him to be a pastor? Some pastors, many pastors are faithful. There are so many faithful pastors. We do not know them throughout the history of the Lord's kindnesses. There are some who are unfaithful. What is a pastor? What is a minister? Who are they and what do they do? The Bible has quite a bit to say about pastors, and this passage contributes to that testimony in the Bible as to what the Bible says about ministers and the ministry. So the place and the position of the ministers is before us today. Who then is Paul and Apollos? And it's presented as a question. Who is Paul? Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? And we're going to look at the answers to that in just a moment. So the question of just who ministers are is going to be answered here in part. It will be answered in part by looking at what they are to do. What do they do? So who is a minister? Well, let's look at what they do. This passage, and this, by the way, clears up some of the misunderstandings. There's a lot of confusion about this passage. A lot of people go to this passage and think it is, first of all, about every Christian in the church. Be careful how you build. Is your work gold, silver, precious stones, or is it wood, hay, and stubble? And be careful, your work's going to be And while this does apply to every Christian, Paul here is addressing Ministers. Ministers first. The work that is done here is about ministers. That's commonly misunderstood when people open this chapter, but sadly, and even worse, is that a lot of ministers don't understand what ministers are to do. What are they to be about? So, there's much here, there's much to learn, and much that pastors need to keep in mind. Unless you're thinking, well, I'm not a pastor, maybe I can just sit somewhere else today. No, it's important for you to hear this. It's important for you to learn about this. This does also apply to the rest of the congregation, not least so that you can know a bit of what to expect about your minister and even how to pray for me. It's sad when ministers don't understand this, and I think that's what leads to a lot of the confusion. So if it's a mist here in the pulpit, Spurgeon said, it becomes a fog in the pew. And even today, we live in a day when people don't even understand this. What are you doing? Why are you even talking about this kind of stuff? So, who are ministers? Here's part of the answer, and try to remember the backdrop. Backdrop. If there's a curtain, paint on that curtain the backdrop. Here we are. Some of the public problem in Corinth was that people were lining up behind certain ministers. I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. So the question of who ministers are is very important to the problems going on. Okay? They're lining up behind ministers. And what was going on is they were filled with envy and strife because they'd line up behind one or another. And we saw this not too long ago. Paul was the church planter. That's the way things were always done. Apollos, he's intellectual. He's sophisticated. I prefer that. We don't know when or if Cephas ever made it to Corinth or if people that were involved with Peter came to Corinth. We don't know that. But people were starting to have battles with each other because of them lining up behind one minister or another. And Paul deals with this head on. You've got a problem with regard to who the ministers are, we're going to deal with it. Boom. Done. So it's right there in verse 5. Question, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Who are they? Paul is going to give a number of answers to this, and each one of his answers is instructive for the work of the ministry. And congregations need to hear this. Corinth needed to hear this. We need to hear it, and I need to hear this. Here are five answers to the question. The first answer that Paul gives, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? His answer is, well, not much. Who are you? Not much. Who or what, in some of your translations, what then is Paul? What is Apollos? Not much, really. And so people are thinking, by the way, where are ministers rated on respectability in jobs and employment out there? This sounds like Paul has a pretty low view of the ministry. By the way, people have come to this congregation and they have noted that you, by and large, are an incredibly respectful lot. You give honor to one another. You give honor to whom honor is due. You do well with this. People notice it. They smell it. They hear it. But it sounds like, and by the way, if you were to go out and talk to people, what do you think of the pastor? Most people think, what's a pastor do anyway? Do we even need a pastor? I think I'm doing all right. I think I'm doing all right. See you. Get out of here. So it almost sounds like when Paul is saying this, or that my answer here, not much,